Now, servanthood is a learned opportunity. You have to teach that. You have to practice that. It's more caught than taught, but it is taught, that's for sure. So you have to learn to be a servant. You have to learn to strip away your circle of selfishness and become more and more like Jesus Christ. We have to teach that. We have to teach servanthood. We have to model servanthood. We have to give people first serve opportunities. We have to challenge them to go to the next level on the ministry ladder. We have to challenge them by celebrating and reproducing the characteristics that we like in their life. Now, to shift gears just a bit, number five, serving opens people's hearts to God and therefore is part of worship. Serving opens people's hearts to God and therefore is part of worship. Now, let's talk about that before you turn the page for a second. Now, I think we would agree that a non-Christian person cannot truly worship God. If someone's not a Christian, they cannot truly worship God. They can watch Christians worship, and the worship of other Christians can open up their heart to God. But have you found it to be true that when a non-Christian gets involved in some kind of serving opportunity, their heart seems to be more warmed to God? Have you found that to be true? You know, it seems like the part of your heart that is close to Jesus Christ is guarded by a door that swings on service. And so when somebody gets involved in serving others, then that door that's protecting them from coming to Christ tends to warm up. And so it seems to me like when I take lost people out and we do a service project, like we go build habitat houses. I'm sure some of you do stuff like that. Or I know, Phil, you're involved in digging wells and providing clean water for people in you know, tough parts of the world. It seems like when you get non-Christians involved in that, that more opens their heart to the gospel. Have you noticed that? Now, it doesn't mean they're truly worshiping God, but it does make them more open to the gospel. And I've had just as many people come to Christ on a service project than I have like at an evangelism opportunity, because serving opens their heart, and therefore it's part of worship. Now, I think that's true for non-Christians as well. And so I think from an evangelism standpoint, if you want to see more people come to faith in Jesus Christ, then getting non-Christians involved in service is one path of doing that. That's not the only path, but I would propose that it's one path. And this is going to be one of the most controversial things inside of the seminar. I understand that. But I think it's true. And then I think that if that's true for non-Christians, imagine what that does for Christians. I mean, for Christians, it's an act of worship. I mean, I go out and hammer nails and build a house for somebody in need because it's an act of worship. You know, I go out and dig wells because it's an act of service, but it's ultimately an act of worship. I serve on Sunday and get up before anybody else to come be a part of the setup team at your portable church because it's an act of worship. So it's not something I'm doing for you or doing even for the church. It's something I'm doing for God. It's an act of worship. And so if you really want people to learn how to worship God properly, we have to involve them in serving. Now, the other way to think about that is kind of the old container idea. But, you know, if I took this bottle of water, I mean, right now this bottle of water is full, and I can't put any more water in it. And so if I come to church to try to be filled, but I'm already full, no matter how great the sermon is or how great the teaching is or how great the songs are, I can't put any more in it. So people walk away the same as when they came. By the way, this is why most people think their worship is stale. Most people don't really worship on Sunday because they haven't emptied themselves during the week. But that's a whole other talk for another day. But if I wanted to fill myself on Sunday, I have to empty myself during the week. And so if I empty myself during the week, through serving others, through evangelism, through following Jesus Christ on a regular basis, and then I come to church, I can be filled up. So I walk away different when I leave church than when I came. Not because my container is bigger, but because my container was less. Make sense? So it's an act of worship. And I really want you to get this, because I think sometimes one of the reasons we feel like, sometimes the reason we are resistant to call people to ministry is it almost sounds self-serving. You know, it's the idea, well, I need volunteers to do my vision, to do my plan. But look, if your vision is in alignment with God's purposes, and then you're asking people to get involved with you, that's the most important thing they can do with their life, and it's ultimately an act of worship. So that's kind of where I'm going with that, and hopefully that'll help you just a bit. Obviously, for some of these, we could spend, you know, a half a morning just talking about them. So therefore, number six, can you tell I'm a philosophy major? I keep building my case. Number six. If a person isn't serving, then they aren't truly worshiping and growing in their faith. If a person isn't serving, they aren't truly worshiping and growing in their faith. So worshiping and growing was the fill-in. Now, let me talk about something just real practical here for a moment. How do you measure this in your church? You know, if they're not serving, they're not worshiping and growing. So it seems like serving could be a way to measure worship and growth. And so let's talk about that for a moment. I want to give you what I call the 30-50-20 measurement. I put this here in the middle of the theology talk for those of you who don't like theology, but you like practical stuff. So the way I measure this at the Journey is what I call the 30-50-20 measurement. In other words, studies have been done that that correlate the growth of a church with the number of people serving. So like probably in the average church, it looks something like this, and I'll have to write this over here to the side of the board, but hopefully you can see it. In most churches, 95% of the people are doing nothing, and 5% are doing everything. You ever pastor that church? Yeah, I pastor that church. I think actually the church I pastored was like 98.2, you know? And so 98% were doing nothing. They just came to church. They sat, they soaked, they soured. And the 2%, they were running around crazy, which actually is one of my favorite images of ministry. I probably have this later in the notes, but I'll go ahead and tell it now. One of my favorite images of ministry is that old quote about the football game. How many people are on a football team? I have no idea. How many people? How many people on a football field? You have 11 people, so 22 out on the field at any given time. If you put 24, you get in trouble, right? Yeah, so you got 22 people out on the field. So you got 22 people on the field, and you got 20,000 in the stands. And you've heard this old thing, right, about you got 22 people on the field who are in desperate need of rest, and 20,000 in the stands who are in desperate need of exercise. And that's kind of like how the church looks sometimes. You know, you got all these people sitting on the sidelines who are doing nothing, and they desperately need to grow. But then you've got two people who desperately need to rest or whatever. And so in most churches, it's 95-5. But the problem is if that's the case, that actually is not only going to hinder the discipleship growth of your church, but it's going to hinder the numeric growth of your church. Because in some ways, the ministry system is tied to growth. It's tied to just numerical growth, not just discipleship growth and maturity, but it's tied to that. So I read this study one time, you know, 95-5 was bad. And then, you know, the goal was kind of to get to the 80-20. And that's really what most kind of effective churches operate on, the 80-20 rule. And that is that, 20% of the ministries or 20% of the people are doing 80% of the ministry or something like that. Well, I started thinking about that, and I developed this equation that we use to measure the health of our church, and it's called the 30-50-20. And this is in your notes, so don't worry if you can't see the board here. The 30-50-20. So what I want is 30% of our church at any given time doing nothing. They're just sitting on the sidelines. They're not involved. You know, in 7 years of our church, there's never been a Sunday where we've missed that goal. We've hit that goal. I mean, honestly, if my salary was tied to the number of times we hit that goal, I would be making a fortune. So we hit that goal. And some weeks, we dramatically exceed that goal. I mean, you know, we've got like 50% doing nothing. I mean, you know, they're just sitting back there and they're not involved in anything. But then, obviously that's a little bit of a joke, you caught onto it. But 50%, I want them serving 1 hour a week or more. I want them serving 1 hour a week or more. Now, I refer to this as internal service. That is, they're leading a group. They're hosting a group. They're on the worship arts team. They're you know, in the band on Sunday. They're serving as an usher, a greeter. They're coming to a volunteer night at the church. They're working in age-graded ministry. So they're involved in some way, and it's at least an hour a week. So they just stop by, you know, the office, put a few stamps on some letters, but they actually, you know, invested an hour of their time. I just made an hour up. I mean, you could call it 2 hours, you could call it 30 minutes, you could call it whatever you want to, but there, in my case, I made it 1 hour a week. And I figure that's about, you know, that's about what you would serve maybe if you worked as an usher on a Sunday, or, you know, if you serve backstage at a service or something like that, 1 hour a week, you stop by and volunteer at the office over your lunch hour. It's a pretty good gauge. So our goal is to get 50%. You say, well, how do you measure that? Well, the way we measure that is every team submits their numbers every week. So I go to the children's team and I say, how many people did you have volunteering on Sunday? We go to the office team. How many people did we have volunteering in the office this week? And every Sunday they report that. In fact, if I could flip over this whiteboard, you would see on the back of this, we actually have it drawn out, and there's a place where every Monday morning people come in and they write their numbers up from the previous week. And then we add all those numbers up, we divide that against our total adult attendance, and we get a percentage. See how that works? Now, we don't include first-time guests in that percentage. We don't include children in that percentage. They can't necessarily serve, but anybody who has the ability to serve, adults, we include that. So even if we're off a little bit, you know, it still gives us a pretty good gauge. And when groups are in session, we pretty much hit this consistently. We have a big groups ministry at The Journey. Most of you are probably aware we have more people in groups than we have on an average Sunday. And so it takes a lot of people to run our group system, and that's a big engine. And I'm actually going to talk about the groups ladder today and show you how that interacts with the ministry system. But we have 50% serving. And a lot of people resist doing this calculation because they say it's too hard. You know, it's too hard. It's really not that hard. You know, you just get your ministry team leaders to give you the number of people who serve that week. And when it comes to groups, we don't get a weekly number. We know how many hosts we have. I mean, we know that at the beginning of the semester. We know how many leaders we have at the beginning of the semester. So yeah, maybe there's a group that doesn't meet 1 week. Okay, so it, you know, it throws our percentage off by a point. But in general, you know, it gives us a good gauge. So what I do, I look at that number, and if it gets too low, I get concerned. And then I ask myself, you know, I know about how many people we should have in each area because we've been doing this for a long time. So for example, in worship arts, I know on any given week, they're going to average about 65 to 75 people. That's how many volunteers it takes to pull off our worship teams and our multi-sites and all that kind of stuff. So if I look at that number and it's 50, but for the last 4 weeks, it's been 75 or 80. I'm like, well, what happened on Sunday? You know? And then they can actually do their own numbers and do their own trends, and they can see if they're going down or going up. Same thing with groups, same thing with children's workers. And then the joke around our office is the counting team. Like, we actually treat the counting team as a separate team. I don't know why, but whenever we designed the form, the counting team became separate. So like, I always pick on the counting team. I'm like, wow, look, you guys grew by 10% this past week. You had more counters than you had before. These are the people who actually count the offering and sort the offering, which, by the way, is very near and dear to my heart. These people who count that offering. So, you know, we joke about that. But, you know, you just find all these numbers and you measure it. And then what you do is you keep an eye on it. And if the number's not increasing. Now, when will this number be kind of low? On a Sunday you have a big attendance. So like on Easter Sunday, when you've got this high attendance, you obviously didn't get 50% of that really high attendance. So you adjust for that. But in general, as the church grows, this number grows as well. And if you hit that 50%, you're never going to lack for volunteers. I mean, you think about that. You got half of your church volunteering 1 hour or more in some type of ministry. You've got a significant system. You say, well, that's pretty aggressive. Okay, well, adjust it for your church. You know, let's say your 30 is going to be 50. So let's make it 50, 20, and then, you know, whatever we have left. Whatever that would be. It'd probably be 50, 30, and maybe 10 or something like that, or 20. Now, the 20% doesn't really fit the system. That's why I've kind of ignored it, but I'll define it. We would like to have 20% of our church involved in some kind of evangelism or outreach ministry. For us, that would mean they invited a friend to church. It could mean that they went out on some kind of formal evangelism project, like a servant evangelism project or some kind of event that they were involved in. Or they went out with their group after church and they did some kind of outreach-oriented event. You can define that however you want it to. But that's the 30, 50, 20. And to me, that's a snapshot of kind of like your pulse and your blood pressure together. Like if I'm hitting the 30, 50, 20, that means we've got a good pulse rate. We've got a good healthy heart rate and blood pressure. Now, if you don't like the 30, 50, 20, just adapt it for your church. So maybe your church, you know, maybe right now it's 85, 10, 5. And so that's where you are right now. Well, then you lower that, you know, you get it down to maybe 65, 20, 10 or something like that. I don't even know if those add up to 100, but you can figure out the math yourself. But the point is, figure out where you are, find a way to determine that percentage, then set a benchmark and keep working toward it. And I know, for example, if we do 20% evangelism and outreach, we're going to grow. I mean, if you got 20% of your church inviting their friends and bringing people to church and doing evangelism, you're going to grow. You know, statistics say in the average church is 3%, by the way, of the 20. It's 3%. So I figure, you know, we get 5%, we're ahead of the curve. If we get 20%, man, that's aggressive growth, you know. So it is with the 50. In most churches, it's 20%. Gary McIntosh, in his book that I recommend in the appendix, he says if you get 35% of your people involved in serving, you're probably going to see significant spiritual and numerical growth. So I took his 35, bumped it up to 50, and said, let's be aggressive. Let's just see if we can't hit it. Okay, a little just something to play with there. So number seven, the reason I do all of this measuring is mobilizing people for ministry is part of discipleship. If you ain't serving, you ain't growing. So it's part of discipleship. And I'm called to help people become disciples of Christ. And so it's part of that.